generally people are searching for one thing that caused autoimmunity. But the thing is that it's a collection of a lot of factors, and then it's like a basket on a camel's back, which is full of straws. You know, there are more and more straws being added, and think of these straws as being different factors or different reasons. And then there's always this one straw that's, you know, in that basket of straws, as the straws are just mounting up, there's this always that one straw that makes the camel.
That breaks the camel's back.
Exactly. Hi everyone, hello and welcome.
Hope you all are doing fine.
Welcome to episode number 35, Why Thyroid Dysfunction. So as promised in the last episode, where we discussed lab results and how to assess your labs, we did talk about various factors that, like, why is T4 low, etc., etc. So Jui, why don't you tell everyone what we are going to talk about today?
Yeah, today we would be talking about insufficient T4.
Why it happens.
Why the root causes of that, as well as the poor conversion from T4 to T3, and also why are there low levels of either free or total your thyroid hormones.
Exactly. And why also something that we are, I think, speaking for the first time possibly, why, what's the reason behind goiter and or multiple thyroid nodules, and as well as something that's not really well known or less spoken about, including everything is less spoken about, but the thyroid hormone resistance, which we did touch upon in the last episode, along with a little about autoimmune thyroiditis, was the main some of the main common factors that could be at play. And I think that'll be it for today. And then we'll come to a conclusion. So there's a lot coming up. Make sure to have a notebook or a pen handy so you can take notes. If not, no worries. You can always listen to it again or watch it again. So would you like to start, Jui?
Yeah. So let's start with some with insufficient T4, because I think that's the major problem when you see it on your lab reports. The first thing being, it's because in overt hypothyroidism, you have low T4 and T3.
Exactly.
Right.
And just refreshing their memory from the last episode, and for those of you who haven't listened to the last episode,
yes,
we need iodine.
Yes.
So that the worker, if you remember, as I mentioned earlier in the last episode, the worker that works in the thyroid gland, the TPO, needs iodine to make the thyroid hormones. With that, continue.
Yeah, so actually we need iodide, which we get from our salt, and that gets converted into more bioavailable form, which is iodine, with the help of TPO enzyme. So, but if you're going to be swimming, for example, or if you're going to be brushing your teeth with fluoride toothpaste,
or tap water,
or drinking tap water, so all these things can displace iodine, and instead those receptors get attached to things like chlorine, bromine,
the halogens.
Fluoride. Yeah, these are called halogens, and this is what really affects our ability to make thyroid hormones, because we not just need iodine, we also need tyrosine. So that comes my second point there, that we do need proteins to make tyrosine. And because it comes from, it's an amino acid, so it's coming from a protein source.
Let's just clarify quickly, because, you know, a lot of people, when they hear protein, you know, they always think that, oh, the only source of, or the principal, the primary source of protein is always meat. Well, that's not necessary. So for all those vegans and vegetarians out there, don't get disappointed. You have all the essential proteins also in your lentils and rice and all of those things, but I'm not talking about the polished rice. So make sure to have a well-balanced diet.
Yeah. And so, but of course, I mean, some people can have also poor absorption of protein because of suboptimal HCL, which is
hypochlorhydria.
Yeah, hypochlorhydria. And so that can be another issue at hand. Then another issue is that we do need selenium. Now, what selenium is doing, it's helping the TPO enzyme that I told you all about. So it really helps in neutralizing that, because TPO is something that's oxidative, that's creating inflammation, but it's a good kind of inflammation.
It's kind of so, the mere act of living.
Yeah.
As it's very normal for all of us, everyone, you know, with you know, when the mitochondria makes ATP, or when the thyroid glands make the thyroid hormone, and when the worker is doing its work, just like any other, like a factory, you see when it's producing goods, it's also producing a little bit of toxins and chemicals, or a lot of it. So in short, there are some metabolites that are produced, there are other things, and there is some oxidative, like I said, reactive oxygen species that are being produced with the mere act of running the body, you know, running the system, the metabolism. So that's what she's talking about.
Yeah, so we do need selenium to protect and neutralize that. And then the next one also can be if someone is on T4 medications, but then T4 medications, they are inappropriately dosed, and either it's too much or too little.
Most of the time.
Yeah. So again, that really impacts. Yeah, that really, because then that's again depending upon your suboptimal HCL.
You also need that to break down the tablets.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do need that. So that's actually impacting our endemic synthesis of these hormones.
Exactly.
So that's that. And the next one also could be autoimmunity. Then now the immune system actually, it really attacks our thyroid, like our TPO enzyme, because it's creating inflammation.
Yeah. So they could be targeting the immune system. Yes. Could be because of the molecular mimicry or whatever we spoke about in the last time. They could be targeting the enzymes or the
thyroglobulin tissue, which is the protein storage as well, because it sort of just looks like the gluten or something that you're having, and immune system is flagging it as a foreign invader, therefore it's creating antibodies against these enzymes and the storage protein, which is also needed by the body.
Exactly.
And also we have another one is where your pituitary and your hypothalamus is suppressed because you're stressed out.
Cortisol.
So if your cortisol is high, your other hormones are getting affected. It's like low progesterone and your low thyroid hormone. And somewhere in that complex or in that process, we have more estrogen. So then there are other problems. Also, this is a very related point to another thing, that where there's lower progesterone, that's also impairing the TPO activity, especially in cases of estrogen dominance or in cases of PCOS, anovulation, or someone is going through late perimenopause. So during times of stress. So these are so much interrelated. There's so much of interplay of hormones that we really need to look at the entire HPA-TG axis.
Exactly. And all the factors that we are sharing with you all today, by no means is this list comprehensive, but this can be said to be some of the most common factors at play.
That's
in
true.
Most of the cases.
Completely. And now let's get on to the T4 to T3
conversion. And where does that conversion happen? In the liver.
Yeah.
So imagine if the body is already suffering from things like high blood glucose levels and with a lot of inflammation.
Or maybe a person is having too much of alcohol, fatty liver, cirrhosis.
Also in a lot of packaged products, they also have a lot of fructose nowadays, or they have these corn syrups, and there are a lot of names given to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the fructose can be only be processed by the liver and not by any other cells, only by the liver cells. So what happens is that it really burdens the liver. Apart from the inflammation and other factors.
Yeah, and also storing that excess fructose into glucagon.
But let's not go there right now, because then we'll be like extending the podcast even more. So in short, because if you start talking about the liver, it's going to be altogether another episode, which we will do in the future. Yes. So any which ways, so the liver health is really important, as well as the kidney health. And you all very well know that with type 2 diabetes and any kind of systemic inflammation that goes on, the kidneys are impacted. And even in the case of diabetics, you see progressively, if there are no lifestyle and dietary changes and other factors and other changes, positive changes that the person is making to manage their diabetes, then eventually most of them do face, it's really common, kidney issues. And so, yeah, all in all, it's inflammation, it's the liver, of course, it's nutrient deficiencies as well, we need nutrients for the conversion as well, you know, things like selenium, iron, zinc, vitamin A, right? And toxicity, to sum it up, because toxicity is something which, again, is not really, there's not much light shed upon this topic of toxicity. And especially nowadays, because of
Mercury, amalgams
and stuff. Yeah,
and also aluminum, which is also
people steam. Use for packaging, yeah. And even people cook in these non-stick pans.
Pans, that's also a big problem.
The off-gassing from the furniture. We don't open our windows, so you know, all the off-gassing and all. Actually, the air that's inside the house. It's really, really toxic if you don't air your house every day for at least an hour or so, or at least 15 minutes, if not for an hour, provided you open all the windows everywhere. So that's really important, sunlight and airing the house. You also need some sunlight in your house. So.
And also people who are smoking.
So. Cadmium or even secondhand smoke, you know, passive smoking. Exactly. So cadmium. So again, we can get into this topic. It's big, but let's move on to low levels of free or total thyroid hormone. Why does it happen?
Because of, again, as I told you, we have this interplay of hormones. And when you have so much of high estrogen, either endogenously or externally from xenoestrogen, so they can really impact our other hormones, and especially thyroid and progesterone, as I told you all before. So that can, it increases our thyroid binding globulin.
Yeah.
And therefore it reduces our free and total thyroid hormone, which is required for a thyroid effect for the cellular metabolism.
And as I already mentioned, stress.
Stress, as always.
Yeah. And so moving on to goiter and, the thyroid nodules that a lot of people do complain about. So this is, think about this, you know, when we go to the gym and we build muscle, what is happening? You know, as we are straining the muscle is facing, it's breaking down and it's facing, it's getting bigger, right? The same thing happens in the case of goiter, is that there is hyperplasia. That means the gland is being overworked. And this is to boost the thyroid function. And actually what is happening is, in many a times, that there's not enough iodine.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's not enough raw material. So it's really overworking,
and it's perhaps even itself,
not enough selenium, right? Perhaps not even that. So because of that, it's really expanding itself. It's trying to pump out as much hormone as possible with the least amount of nutrients. And of course, like she mentioned earlier, halogens and other malnourishment or that digestive issues, all this can also be causing, or the person is not intaking these nutrients.
Yeah,
bad diet. So that's one. And of course, since it's overworking, there's more oxidative damage that's happening, more inflammation that's happening, right? So in a way, it's also the damage that's happening to the gland itself.
Yeah, so there's a local inflammation.
Yeah, and selenium is again important to protect. And not just selenium, but even the process of methylation that produces the master antioxidant glutathione, which again is really important. And of course, cofactors, you know, we need other nutrients like B6 and stuff, which is required. Again, nutrient insufficiency. And finally, this can be also unaddressed autoimmune dynamics can be at play, which we will get to, because autoimmunity is, we'll touch upon it later on. You want to continue?
Yeah. So the next one is also on thyroid hormone resistance. And over here, we generally, as we did talk about this point as well last time, that we have insulin resistance.
Yep.
And because of that resistance, So because of that resistance, the cell now stops in, getting in anyone, inviting in anyone, any hormones.
Exactly.
So it doesn't want your T4 and T3.
Yeah,
so it's hanging out in the blood.
Or sometimes it can be the receptor function.
Yes, also. That's also true.
Again, because of inflammation, inflammation also affects the receptors.
Yeah.
As simple as that. And with that, we get to autoimmunity. Just, it's we are just running through it. Because it's actually when we go to talk about it, there's a lot to talk about it. So epigenetics is the primary thing. Sometimes, many a times, we find that there is some form of autoimmunity already going on in the family.
Yeah.
Someone has it. And people generally think of it as, oh, because it's in the genes, I'm likely to get it. No, it's epigenetics. Okay, epigenetic means, as we already discussed in previous episodes, the choices you make, the environment you live in, what do you think is more important than anything?
So it's the, even if the genetics, they load the gun, epigenetics pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
So that you need to remember. And we always love to blame on other things, but it's because of this that this happened, but never take your full ownership for that. So I think with epigenetics, this concept is all about taking full ownership as you would with your own business.
Yeah, and it's not really difficult, you know, it's not really difficult. If you go to see, it's again reminding you all, at the end of the day, there are these small steps that really get to the big action. The big action consists of smaller steps. And so people really think that there is this one thing or this one thing they can do or one thing they can have or whatever, some supplements they can have, or and then everything's going to be fine, you know. But
that's what exactly, you know, the process of healing, although it's not linear, it's a very non-linear, it's a very wavering, it's with ebb and flow. So you are just one step closer to your being the best self or your best version.
So getting back to autoimmunity, surely when there is enough oxidative damage going on because there is not enough glutathione because it's insufficient methylation, the process is hindered again because of insufficient nutrients not just contributes to, impacts the methylation process, which makes them master antioxidant. It also impacts the thyroid. It impacts the mitochondrial function, the digestive function, in short, everything. Because the body needs nutrients, as far as we know till date, to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what can hinder nutrients apart from the person not having the right diet, or the right nutrients that nature has provided us, is can be things like, you know, digestive disorders or digestive dysfunction. Because of things like intestinal permeability, and it's not like black and white, it's either there or not there, it's not that way. There can be some form, and then there can be a little bit, and then it can just spill over and become
massive,
you know. And of course, there can be, then all these things do give rise to the microbial dysregulation. Basically, microbes are not. There are overgrowths taking place, or there is a migration of microbes from the large intestine to the small intestines, all those things.
Or even the medications that you're having on a continuous basis for a mere cold and flu, and you're just popping in some antibiotics. So that can also hamper your microbial balance.
Exactly. And not just those medications, but there are other medications as well, like OCPs and steroids and stuff like that, which kind of interferes with enzyme function or certain pathways. We won't get into that. It's not really a fun topic to discuss. But that does, in the long term, hinder the way the body functions or the way it's supposed to function, because there's an interference, of course. And because of this, we do see that it affects the uptake of nutrients. Or even other things like the microbiome dysfunction and stuff like that. And then there can be triggers on top of all this. You know, triggers as in, it's not, generally people are searching for one thing that caused autoimmunity. But the thing is that it's a collection of a lot of factors. And then it's like a basket on a camel's back, which is full of straws. You know, there are more and more straws being added, and think of these straws as being different factors or different reasons. And then there's always this one straw that's, you know, in that basket of straws, as the straws are just mounting up, there's this always that one straw that makes the camel,
that breaks the camel's back.
Exactly. And that they in the conventional medical system, they emphasize and they really hold on to the trigger as if it's the only thing that matters. But the trigger is that one last straw. So any which ways, it can be other things as well, like simmering infections, or basically that impairs the immune system, because the immune system is way too busy fighting off the infection and it's, you know, just can't able to keep up. But there can be, of course, stress and infection, especially when these two factors combine, then things seem to happen faster in terms of, you know, negative repercussions. There are other things like no gallbladders, and people have their hysterectomy, poor digestion, as we already mentioned, all those things, and we'll get into it some other episode. So what do you like to sum it up?
Yeah, so with all of these things, I think at the end of the day, we do have to also look at poor cell membrane function.
Yeah.
And
what is causing poor cell membrane function?
The nutrient deficiencies.
Oxidative stress. Seed oils.
Yeah.
All those things, right?
And also the gut health that he just spoke about.
Yeah.
So, and not having enough thyroid hormone, because sometimes you also need a bit of T3 to pump the prime the pump. And so that you can actually start working your cells in a way that it's supposed to be.
Exactly. And liver, kidney health.
Exactly.
Again, it's hepatobiliary health, which also is kind of related, or it's kind of connected to gut health. Everything is connected at the end. And of course,
glutathione, because then again, it's our master antioxidant. And if we don't have
insufficient,
that,
yeah.
then obviously we have a lot of oxidative damage, a lot of inflammation, which can be unstoppable.
Chronic viral infections and parasites that generally, again, is not really spoken of. And the small things that really cause all this to happen. What are the small things that cause all this to happen? The very essential steps.
These are not the small things. Actually, this is the
foundational. The small things.
The foundational thing that we are doing wrong is the crap food,
yeah.
Stress, and the toxins.
And your sleep. Your hydration levels. I mean, I'm not just talking about like in this week or 2 days is going to make a big difference, but in the long term. And then are you moving your body enough? Are you breathing well? Some people don't breathe deeply.
That's true.
Do they have joy and purpose in life? Are they having good relations with people around them? So all these things, these are the things that give rise to the factors that, you know, she just mentioned. And then these factors, then if they continue and they become chronic, that's what leads to all those things that we just discussed today, like low T4 and whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, like one small thing, like being just emotionally dysregulated or being upset, something as small as that can store so much of trauma in you. And from there, things can just precipitate into bigger issues. And once you just work on that, I think everything sets off in the right manner.
Exactly. And before we end, I would like to say something. Whatever we have discussed today, I think is just, in my belief, is just half, is just, or maybe one fourth of what actually could be the full picture. I don't think that discussing these things is that we are touching upon everything, because along this comes the energetics,
yeah,
right, comes our deeply embedded beliefs and thoughts in our subconscious, in our deep conscious, in our super conscious, like all these things. And sometimes there can be generational trauma, there can be other blocks interfering in your energetic or the mind body,
yeah,
which we will be talking about in an upcoming episode, and I'm really looking forward to that. So anything you would like to add before we...
No, I think we summarized it pretty good. Great. And at the end, our whole goal is to make you understand these root cause factors, but look, sometimes not just looking at the labs is not the complete picture, because that's never going to give you what's exactly going on with you in your life. It's not dictating anything. It's very vulnerable to errors. So looking at these underlying factors can give you a clearer picture, but sometimes, as Arjun just mentioned, there could be something more going on.
And to be frank over here, and I know a lot of functional medicine practitioners and a lot of experts and gurus out there, quote unquote, wouldn't like me or would hate me for saying this, but in the end, even if you don't look at labs, that's fine. If you just go by intuition, and if you just start making those foundational changes that has really led to all these problems, on the physical level, of course, like we just discussed, and also your mind, what you think and what you believe is also really important, as well as the other native and non-native electromagnetic fields around you. Well, native is the right one, which we will discuss again. And I think we have discussed this in the past as well. So, all right, with that, we wish you all an amazing weekend, and we'll be seeing you all next week. Until then, take care and be healthy and be happy. See you all.